So part of this being brave is about learning to discern in your life between a genuine concern and a needless anxiety. But I would say to you that sometimes you can interpret the same event in both of those ways. So you can turn a genuine concern into a needless anxiety by the way you approach it. Because it's the same word. And so sometimes you go through a situation and you deal with it and you handle it with strength. You're brave about it. That's a genuine concern. Sometimes you go through a situation and you're tied all up in knots about stuff you can't do much about anyway. That's a needless anxiety. Wisdom will show you the difference between needless anxiety and genuine concern. And here's how you can do it. Here's how you can do it. Be anxious for no thing. I was talking to a friend one time, and this was many years ago. He spilled orange juice on his computer while he was on the phone with me one morning. But he was so calm about it. He said, oh, hang on a second. And he was gone a long time on the phone. I said, what happened? He said, I just spilled a whole glass of orange juice on my computer. It's not working anymore. I said, and you're not using profanity? And he said, no, it's nothing but a thing. It's nothing but a thing. This guy isn't a billionaire. He said, it's nothing but a thing. Fix it. If they can't, they can't. It's nothing but a thing. And I thought, I want that. Do you remember that phrase? We used to say it a lot when I was coming up. We used to say, ain't nothing but a thing. And I think Paul's trying to get us to see here in Philippians 4, be anxious for no thing. Be concerned about the state of your soul. Be concerned about the state of your children's soul. Be concerned about God's work in the world. That's a genuine concern. But when it comes to the things, you got to learn to look at some things in your life and just say, hey, ain't nothing but a thing. It is nothing but a thing. Let me show you this in Romans. Paul is talking in Romans about some pretty heavy stuff. And he says, verse 31, Romans chapter 8, what then shall we say in response to these? Say it out loud. Every location, say it out loud. In response to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's what gives me courage sometimes when I feel opposed. I just say, well, if God's on my side, I'm good. And if he's not, I'm in trouble. So it really doesn't matter what they're saying about me. It just matters what God sees in me. Because if he's for me, who can be against me? Take a number, line up. It won't matter because I'll still be standing. And you can have that confidence as God's child. It's not cocky. It's just confident. That's what Paul's saying. He says, it's just a thing. He said, it's a thing. Look at the next verse. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? It's nothing but a thing. Skip to verse 37. He starts listing some things. He says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What kind of things are you talking about, Paul? Spilling orange juice on the computer, big deal. No, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, this is heavy stuff, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor any, let me just put a blank here so you can fill it in, nor anything else in all creation, bankruptcy, joblessness, homelessness, addiction, whatever, will be able to separate us, nor any, oh, I love it, nor anything else, nor any, you see it, nor anything else, nor anything else. Reach everybody you can reach and tell them a number the thing. It ain't number the thing. It ain't nothing but a thing. This is a thing. Be anxious for no thing. I want you to do that this week. Now, when you're faced with something, and if it doesn't fit in Paul's list, that's what the blank is for. That's what the anything is for. Is nothing but a thing, and shift over from needless anxiety to genuine concern, controlling what you can and trusting God where you can't. Now, if you have thoughts that torment you, thoughts of insecurity, thoughts of shame, thoughts of ridicule, thoughts of your past, thoughts of regret, if you have thoughts that torment you, this is the verse I'll tell you to memorize right here, because it will obliterate some of the opponents that you've been losing to all your life if you activate this verse and act on it. Because in 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul says something about thoughts. He says, we demolish arguments. What's that? Anything that contradicts what God says. That's the kind of argument he's talking about here. When God says you're one thing, but you feel like another, demolish that argument. When God has promised you one thing, but another thing is happening in your circumstance or your situation or your peripheral vision, demolish that argument. But not just the arguments, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension. You see it? That sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. Back to Philippians. Cool if we jump around? Just back and forth real quick. You don't even have to flip. They're doing all the work for you. This is like somebody cracking the crab legs for you and dipping it in butter and putting it in your mouth. Look at this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, I'm supposed to be very important. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about, reckon, calculate, and evaluate such things. If I were to ask you a question today, what is holding you back from being what God has called you to be? From accomplishing the dreams he's given you, from changing the parts about you that you don't like, and he doesn't either. If I were to ask you, what's holding you back? What's holding you back? No doubt about it, you would begin to list things. People, events, financial situations, health conditions, things. Here's what I learned. It's really not the things that are holding you back. Because somebody on your same row is dealing with the same thing you're dealing with. Only they're doing it with courage, and they're doing it with faith, and they're doing it with victory, and they're doing it with an overcoming spirit. And you're doing it in fear, and you're doing it in weakness, and it's not the thing that makes a difference. You could list the same things to different people. It's not the thing that holds you back. Quit making excuses for your apathy. Quit making excuses for the broken places in your life. It's never the thing that holds you back. It's how you think about the thing that holds you back. Now I'm getting there. Because Paul says, if you will think about the right things, you can go through some hard stuff, but you'll still be standing. Now, here it is. Most of us never stop to think about what we're thinking about. We never stop to think about the things we're thinking about. And Paul says, if you want to live a life that is characterized by faith and courage and steadfastness, and if you want your children to see something in you that makes them want to love God, and if you want to make some kind of difference in the world, if you want to stand firm, you got to think about such things. What things? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely. You got to pick the things that bring God praise, and pick the things that empower your spirit, and pick the things that give you a perspective of gratitude, and think about such things. I need you to touch everybody around you and tell them, hold that thought. That's what we need to learn to do, is hold that thought. Now I want you to think not about the spies that are in this passage, but the spies that are in your mind. I want you to think about the spies inside of you, these thoughts that go out and survey, even as I'm preaching, what God could do through you and what God is calling you to do and the dream God put inside of you and all of this promise that God has given us in Christ. For Ephesians says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. But your thoughts are the spies that determine whether or not you take a step. I love Caleb. Caleb, silence the people. Shut up, y'all. Shut up. Shut up. That's an inside joke. Shut up, y'all. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We should, for we can. We should, for we can. We should, for we can. They saw the same reality as the other 10 spies, but they believed a different report. We should, because we can. The other spies talking about, we can't, so we won't. But the same spies that went on the mission to say, we can't, so we won't, ended up dying in the desert. Ended up dying. Your faith is dying in deserts, not because of your enemy, but because of the way you're looking at your enemy. You're looking at it wrong. 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 That's the problem. You're looking at it wrong. And if you are afraid, the thing you fear will come to pass. Feel weak, you'll be weak. Feel small, you'll be small. We can because we should. I would if I could. No, no, no. You could if you would. You could if you would. But the men who had gone up with them said, can't attack those people. Stronger than we are. Wait a minute. Stronger? When did God or Moses command you, Mr. Investigative Reporter, to give your opinion and use your measuring stick? Your scale is broken. And when you start weighing yourself rather than weighing God's word, you'll always stop in weakness and doubt. And they spread, 32, among the Israelites, a bad report. See it? A bad report. I can't find anywhere in the passage where they got bad news. But here's what fear will do. Fear will turn good news into a bad report. Congratulations on your new job. Oh, yes, it's real stressful, man. I mean, I didn't plan on working on the weekends. Wait a minute, I was congratulating you. I thought it was good news you got a promotion. Well, it is, but the people who work for me, they just, man, that's crazy. I never knew I've overseen so many people. You know, I got my kid over there at the school, and I don't know. Now I can afford to keep him in, but I can't go to any of the soccer games. Never mind. I'll never congratulate you again. I mean, what kind of report do you bring into people's lives? It says they spread a bad report. And some of y'all, I'm going to solve the problem. This is why nobody wants to go on a second date with you. Too much. Because they don't need to know all about your chronic back pain on the first date. Some of y'all, this is why nobody asks you, how are you doing anymore? Because the last time they asked you, it took 2 hours, and they had to be somewhere, and they really didn't mean how are you doing. They're just being polite. Report. Ask the person next to you, do you have a good report? Because I need one. There's enough bad news in the world, y'all. What I need is somebody who will not turn good news into a bad report. But I need a believer with the kind of faith that can turn bad news into a good report. See, I want to clear it up. The news is not the report. The news is what happened. But the report is what you make of what happened. My God. The news is the issue. The report is your interpretation of the issue. And I don't always have to have good news to have a good report.
God wanted me to tell you that He is surrounding whatever is surrounding you. Oh, God. They don't get it yet. They don't get it yet. They don't get it yet. Because we want God's help to keep us from hardship. So we want God to surround us from the inside out. God, don't ever let anything bad happen to me. God, don't let any need ever come into my life. God, don't ever let me go through anything. See, we think faith is supposed to insulate us. We think faith just stands around us and God stands there and He never lets any hardship hit your life. But see, that wouldn't make sense. Because if He surrounded you from the inside out, you would think it was you that was strong. You would think it was you that was unlimited. You would think it was you that had what it took. You would think it was you that was holding your life together. You would think it was you that knew. You would think it was you that was smart. You would think it was you. You would think it was you. But Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the hills, to the hills, to the hills. From whence cometh my help? You getting this, buddy? My help comes from the Lord, the maker, oh my God, of heaven and earth. Y'all ought to be clapping right now. I know I told you to hold hands, but you ought to clap. See, I'm preaching so good, even my enemies are clapping. Because this is truth, y'all. Jesus. Jesus. And He said, I'm surrounding, there's the angels, what's surrounding you? Everybody say, see it through.
See, it through.
See, if I tell you God's help is here, some of y'all are going, yeah, but I don't see it. You feel like that? Like, yeah, but I don't see it. Sounds good. Yeah. But I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. I feel this way all the time. People will tell me something is awesome, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
Like an art gallery. Holly likes to go see, you know, we've been all over the world and she'd take me to these art galleries to tour and stuff. And they'll be talking about all the impressionist and the different symbolism and all. But you know, I mean, I'll stand there and nod. I want to look sophisticated. I don't want to look like I came from the country, but the fact is I don't see it. You remember those magic eye posters that they used to have? You won't remember. You're too young for all that. Any of y'all remember those magic eye posters they used to have where they had the 3D image and you stare at it and all of a sudden now, you know, fairies pop out from the thing or rainbows or dolphins pop out from the thing. I stared at those things for a period of 18 months. I would stare at them. I think I did permanent vision damage to myself trying to stare at them, but I never saw it. And I think if you did see it, then I don't think you did. I think you're a liar. But I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just trying to say, sometimes you don't see it.
Right.
People tell me all the time that for instance, soccer is an exciting sport. They say, oh, it's fantastic. It's exciting. But I tried to watch it. I don't see it. I don't see it because I think you have to score more than 2 points or goals or whatever they call it in soccer. I just don't see it. Get your hands back together. Bill, come join hands. See, I'm telling you, that God wants to show you His strength and that He wants to show you His supply. But you might have to see it through your weakness. That's the revelation. Because your help comes from the hills. The hills surround the city. God is in the hills. He wants you to look past your hardship.
Right.
To see His help.
Right. That's good.
See it through. See it through. God's help is here, but you gotta see it through.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.